Well, good morning, everyone. We can all agree this is really different. But in our times of differences, we thank God that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a lot of emotions that I'm going through right now. Happy to be here. Happy to be speaking once again. And before we get into our discussion for this morning, I want to apologize, Mark, because I thought last week we said it was epic fail that we forgot to honor everybody that was part of coming back here. But I think we forgot a couple that we should honor, because behind every great team, there's a great captain. And so we want to honor the two of you, Mark and Bridget. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your leadership during this time. And I just thought it was right that we honor the two of you. And so we're continuing our series on walking with God. And before we bring up what I'm going to be speaking to you about, I just wanted just to take you on a journey with me. How many of you love watching movies or reading books? And the reason why you watch that whole movie or you read that book is to get to the end to see what happens. And so all of us are on this journey. And I don't know why it is every time I speak or whatever, when God wants me to speak, that He wants me to pour out my journey. But I just think it's helpful, and that's probably why. And so I've been on this journey for the last 5 months, where some of you know that I mentioned as back in March, when we first went live in the living room, that I was on this journey where I was off of social media and just basically shut out from the world, so to speak. And so I was on this spiritually, emotionally, mentally, whatever kind of Lee, I was on this journey. And through this journey, I must admit, it has been difficult in this season. And it doesn't hurt that COVID hit, right? I mean, that just goes without saying. And in the midst of what God wants to do, the world is telling us something else. And I mean, for some of us, we had to work from home. Man, we had two of us working from home, having the kids go online, doing their studies. And I'm sure a lot of us have been in that same situation. 24 hours a day, all together, in the same place, creates great, great relationship building. Yeah. And so in the midst of all this, I found out that one of my childhood friends, we went to kindergarten all the way up to high school. He passed away from COVID. And that shook me. Because you have to understand, God's doing something in me, and then all this stuff seems to be piling up on me. And then I'm thinking of my mom. She's probably watching. Shout out to my mom. She's stuck at home by herself, which weighed on me. And then, of course, in the midst of all that going on, we hear about the killing of George Floyd, which also now I had to have this kind of discussion at home with my kids. And can I just say, I'm just going to use this. Can I just say that in the midst of all that, what happened with George Floyd, I just want to say this, The Bible says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And so justice without righteousness is terrorism. And so as the church, I want us always to remember that justice and righteousness go together. It goes together. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And so all these emotions are going on in my heart, in my mind. It's taking over me. And to be honest, I became very quiet, very irritable, very frustrated. I know you, out of all people, yes. It drove my family crazy. Because I could tell you for 3 weeks straight, they didn't hear a peep out of me. Because there's so much going on inside of my heart and I didn't know how to put it into words. How many people have been there? A few of you, that's good. And so, but one thing I always love about God is that it's interesting that before God leads us into something, he always prepares us for it. He doesn't just lead you without preparing you for it. And so he made me go back to, he's like, okay, son, go back to a couple of the sermons that you spoke. And I was like, oh, are you serious? And so I did. So I spoke on choose joy, cultivating a healthy heart, and abiding in his presence. How many of you know that God has a funny way of speaking to you? And so when I look back, I see that he was preparing me for something, but I couldn't see it in the middle of it. Are you still with me? But the wonderful thing is, in the midst of going with all this stuff going on in my life, and I know it was a distraction, it never detracted me from what God wanted to do in my heart. Why? Because I noticed that it was a distraction. And so I'll just say this, is that now more than ever, I'm more in love with Jesus. And I'm trying not to cry. Pause. That's the thing about live feed now. I can't, you know. But I'm more in love with Jesus. I'm more in love with his church. Because at the same time, what he's done is taken me through a journey of forgiveness of myself. Forgiveness to others, reconciling relationships. We can call that repenting. And what it's done is released me to be all that I am to be in him. And so that's my journey. And so what I actually want to talk about this morning, we're going to do part 7, and I've called it Significant Seasons. Significant seasons. And I love this picture. Thank you, Jess. Where has the path in the middle, the road, and on one side there's a season going on, and on the other side there's another season going on. How many of us know that we're all going through something, but it may not be the same thing? Yeah. And so God works in seasons, and we see this first in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And he said, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And we also see in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And so we can see that there are seasons in our life, and that is how life was built for us. But the thing is about seasons is that sometimes we look, instead of looking at the seasons, we look at things in seconds. I mean, how many of us know during this time, Amazon Prime is not Amazon Prime? And if I'm paying for Amazon Prime next day or 2 day shipping, and I'm not getting it for 2 weeks, how many of us know that becomes frustrating? Sorry, I'm just venting. And so, but isn't that the way we think life goes, in seconds? But actually, God works in seasons. That's why he made four seasons. In some parts of the world, they have two. Yeah, I wish that was here too. But the trees change colors. The sun goes up, the sun goes down. The moon goes up, the moon goes down. The tides come in, the tides go out. God works in seasons, not seconds. And so why do we fail, or why do we struggle to see our seasons? Number one, distraction. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, and it says, "And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?'" And so we will see that the enemy will always use distraction to deter us from God's direction. I'm not even sure if any of us even processed this, but in the midst of COVID that happened here, it was in the middle of Passover. In the midst of George Floyd being killed, it was in the midst of Pentecost. So how many of us know that God is trying to do something, but the enemy will always try to distract us and change our focus? He tries to change our focus. And anytime we focus on what we see instead of what God says, we begin to sink. We begin to sink. And so we miss the significance of the season we're in because we become distracted instead of being discerning. Which brings me to my second point, is discernment. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 10:5. It says, "He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." And I remember the Lord speaking to me and he said, "Son, discern the season that you're in. Discern the season that you're in." And for some of us in this building and watching online, I want to tell you and want to encourage you to discern the season that you're in, because it is important. It is significant. Some of the most significant moves of God died because people lost focus. They lost focus. And so to understand your significant season, you must understand that you are significant in your season. Isn't that good? And so this 35 millimeter camera that we had as a team of this prophetic word that came of unwinding and revealing. Can I just say that before he can unwind the promises, he has to unwind and reveal you personally. And that's the journey that most of us are on. And in every season, God cares only about two things. What can I be for you? And who you are in me. That's really the two things that he's focused on. What can I be for you in this season that you're going through? And who can I reveal myself to you? Because God's always revealing himself. Amen? And so we are learning to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us so that we can reflect more of Jesus. However, always know that John 10:10 becomes highlighted in this season. And it says that the thief comes only to kill, to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And this is what the Lord showed me through this verse this week. He said, our hearts are a wellspring of hope, faith, and life. And the devil comes to steal our hope, kill our faith, and destroy our life. But the beauty of walking with God is that he will always present signs in our significant season. Did you hear that? He'll always present signs in our significant season. And so I want to look at two stories. And the first one, or I look, let's call it two signs, and then we'll talk about two stories. And so number one, the sign on the land. And so if you have your Bibles or you want to follow on the screen, we'll go to Matthew chapter 14, 13 to 20. And it says, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away, go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. They said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And so we see here, this is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And what's so interesting about the feeding of the 5,000 is that it actually precedes Jesus walking on water. And so what's interesting, what I found looking at these two stories, is I think we look at them as separate stories, but I believe God wanted it to be one story. Even though we have masks on, we can still say amen. And so the feeding of the 5,000 is significant. Somebody say, this is significant. Why is it significant? Because the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talk about. So how many of us know that if this is mentioned, and it's the only miracle mentioned in all 4 Gospels, it must be significant. Amen, yes. It is. And so, Jesus was revealing who he was to the crowd, that he was the Christ. But I believe the teaching had less to do with the crowd learning and more to do about his disciples learning who he was. Because you see, the reality is before we can reveal who he is to others, he uses seasons in our lives to reveal who he is to us personally and who we are in him. And so we see in verse 17, it says, they said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. And so it made me think about why the 5 loaves and the 2 fish were so significant. And here's what I believe the Lord showed me about the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Is that the loaves would reveal who Jesus is. And the fish would reveal who they were. Because you see, Jesus had called them to be fishers of men. And Jesus wanted them to know that he was the bread of life. And little did the disciples know that after Jesus was gone to the throne in heaven and the Holy Spirit would come, that now these disciples who would become apostles would now start feeding not with natural food, but with spiritual food to his people. Say, this is significant. And this is why we need to understand that this is significant, is because the world will try and teach us something else. The world will try to assign to us another form of significancy. Significancy, right? Significance. Let's make it up, yeah. And so we find our significance in our status, in the clothes we wear, in our houses and in our cars, how many Instagram followers we have, and how many likes we get when we post pictures. And the world will try and assign you your significance, but anything that tries to assign you your significance outside of who God says you are, it's senseless. Because you see, I'm not significant because of my job. I'm not significant because of my Instagram posts. I'm not significant because of the great TikTok videos that I will show the world. A lot of old folks say, well, what's TikTok? Okay. Because you see, things don't define me. My posts don't define me. Because I am significant not because of some things, because of someone who died for me, who loves me, who lives in me, who cares about me. I am the apple of his eye. Somebody shout, I am significant. I am significant. And everything that God does has significance. And we must understand that God is intentional. In the season that you're in, he's intentional. There is a reason why you are in this season. And that's for you to partner with him and figure why you're in this season. Verse 17, he says, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. How many of us know that when we see that, we only have? Anytime I see that in the Bible, I know that God is setting something up. Right? This is all we have. So essentially what the disciples were saying is, this is insignificant. What are you going to do with these insignificant things? And God says, bring them here to me. Because I'll take what you called insignificant and use it to glorify my Father. And then we see in verse 19, he says, then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. I love when it says in Mark 6:39, it says, then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. How many of us know that God doesn't waste words in his word? How many of us know that God does not waste words in his word? And so when he says to Make them sit down in green grass. It reminds me of Psalm 23 when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." And we heard last week when Mark talked about Jesus, the good shepherd. And so we see the shepherd telling the sheep to lie down in green pastures. And for some of us, God is saying for you to sit down in his green pastures. And so Jesus did not feed the multitudes to show them what he did. Listen to me. He did not feed the multitudes to show them what he did. He fed them to show them who he was. Who he was. You see, he wasn't trying to teach them that he's Amazon Prime. That you're going to get this tomorrow. That's not what he was teaching them. He wasn't teaching them that you will never hurt or doubt or be lonely or be worried or be anxious. He wasn't trying to tell them that or teach them that. What he was trying to teach them is that when you feel you're in lack, remember this time when we were on this land. Remember what happened. Because I believe, can we be real? We go through some seasons and God teaches us some stuff in that season. And the reason why he teaches you some stuff in that season is to bring you into another season so that you're prepared for that season. But what happens? We forget sometimes everything he taught us in that season. Which brings me to the second story, which I call the sign on the lake. And I think this has just become our mantra. Right? Is we want to be a people to walk on water. Thank you. And so let's read it in Matthew 14. 22 to 33, it says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" And what I want to bring our attention to with this is that it says immediately. In John it says, that evening. That evening. So they just witnessed the feeding of 5,000 men, not including the children and the women. And then Jesus sends them in the boat and says, "I'm going to meet you on the other side. Just hop into the boat. I'll meet you there." And they freak out. That evening. You get where I'm going? And here's where the issue is that in season, God teaches us one thing to carry over to the next thing. But instead of remembering those things, we forget everything. They forgot what happened. It just happened. Right? It just happened. Remember the time when God healed you of that sickness or that disease? And now you're just having a minor surgery and you're freaking out? Remember that time when God provided you over and abundantly, blew your head off with his provision, and now you're in that same predicament again and doubting? Verse 22, he said to go before him to the other side. So my question to us this morning is, why are we worrying about something that God has already worked out? He said to go to the other side. Right? He said to go to the other side. And so the question is, do you look at your circumstances as inconvenient, or do you see them as opportunities for you to change? Is this just sinking deep? Because the truth is, it's hard for us to see the significance of our season when we're in it. We fully don't understand it until we're out of it. Right? And so walking with God through the process of one area of your life actually becomes the prototype for other areas. Becomes a prototype. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. And here's where I really want to focus on. Is that, do you know that it is possible for us to experience a miracle and miss the significance? You have to understand, they saw the miracle. They experienced the miracle of the 5,000. They even served the bread. can you even process this? They were fully engaged in this miracle. It's because we focus so much on the experience that we forget about the encounter. We forget about the encounter. I mean, think about our salvation. Do you know it's possible for us to experience salvation, miss the significance of the miracle of salvation? I mean, you have to understand, what did God save you for? What did God save you for? Did he save you so that you can still live a life of shame and guilt and be worried and anxious? What did he save you for? Did he save you for you to keep doubting? What did he save you for? Because the important thing is that it's not what God saved you from, but he saved you for a purpose. He saved you for a calling. And so, even with something like salvation, we experience it, but we miss the significance of it. And so, in closing, the feeding of the 5,000 and walking on water. It's significant. And I just wrote this. The two signs on the land and the lake, the bread and the boat, was Jesus being revealed as the provider of a bread which gives life and as a savior who protects his own. He steps into your boat in times of trouble and brings you to safety. And I want to end with this, Mark 6:43. It's interesting that four gospels say four different things. But when you piece it all together, it's beautiful. And it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 43, it says, "And they took up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish." And I just wrote this because I, in preparing, I just felt God say, this, whoever it is in this building or online, I just sense the Lord say, come with your broken pieces and put them in the safety of my basket. And so, really what I wanted to encourage us this morning is we're all going through a season. But can I encourage you with this? You will keep going through the same season over and over until you get it. And that's not because God is angry with you, it's because he loves you. And he loves you too much for you to ever stay the same. And so, yeah, you're in a season. We're all in a season. Even as the bridge, we're in a season. But the beauty of being in a season is that he's actually in the boat with us. He's in the boat with us. Right? So I just want to pray for us, if we can all just stand. And so the ministry team is here. And so after we're done, they're here to pray for you. But I just want to pray over us. Is that okay? And so, Father, we thank you for the significant seasons that we're in. And, Father, we thank you that in our seasons, really at the end of the day, you're trying to get our attention to focus back on you again. For us not to be distracted anymore, but for us to discern what you're trying to do in our lives. And so, Father, I pray that we would never miss the significance of our seasons. Father, even during this time where we're still in this COVID quarantine time and the economy is opening up, but Father, I pray that even still during this time, if we felt like we've missed it, Father, I thank you for the hope that you're actually still there wanting to partner with our seasons again. And so, Father, we thank you that you are truth. And Father, we thank you that you love us so much for us to ever stay the same. And so, Father, we declare to you that we love you. We will choose to trust in you. We will choose to trust in the season that we're in because it's in you. And Father, I thank you that this whole life that we have is in you. And so, Father, we thank you for this day. And we declare that you are Lord of our lives in every way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.